I'm back in rugby at the offices of Opus VL and Stuart McIntosh, who is SJ McIntosh on Twitter. It's a bugger to remember that because he's also got Opus VL. And we're just reminiscing, going way, way back to the, dare I say it, late 80s, which is how long we've known each other. Back in the day, before mobile phones even, we would have CBs on bicycles. I think Mackie had the first setup in, as far as the eye could see. I don't know anybody else that was doing it. And me being slightly lazier and less of a hack, got myself a mini Midland, bolted it to my handlebars, and set up a charger on a dynamo. Because Mackie, how many dynamos did you have on your bike?
I think it was two or three dynamos to charge the 6-volt battery in it, the 2 6-volt batteries.
So I remember you had a rack on the back, you had a massive whip, you had proper power coming from the CB on your bike, all charged through pedalling, which unfortunately, yeah, due to the thousands of miles you did, is now knackered your legs in, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've worn my knees out when I was about 20, but yeah, it was. It's because I lived out in the middle of nowhere. I think it was about 15 miles out of rugby, and I'd be cycling in every day, so I had lots of opportunity to charge it up.
Mm. And it's interesting because now we're seeing kind of, well, we've just been talking about power. We've been talking about something I won't talk about right now, which I, you think, okay, some kind of pneumatic invention that
body
you
charger.
Kind of body chargers, and I'm saying, yeah, well, there's a massive influx of dynamo chargers for bikes now. You can plug your phone into this, and everybody's going, wow, what an amazing innovation. And I'm thinking, oh god, but back then it was literally, I remember actually visiting your house, and your room looked like where they would have built the short circuit robot, whatever, yes, that was called. It, yeah, was literally just components, yeah, parts, soldering irons and bits of old tellies and stuff.
That was my playground when I was young. That's what I used to play with.
What kind of stuff were you building at that age? And it was, how old were you?
How old was I? Well, when I was about, probably when we met, it must have been mid-80s or mid to late 80s. Mm. But I was on the, I started on the CB when I was about 14 or 13, probably a year before I should have had a licence at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I started very young doing that kind of thing. I think I was about 10 or 12 when I first built a radio transmitter and transmitted the Beatles record somewhere. Again, I probably shouldn't have done that at the time.
Yeah, this is against all kinds of laws now.
Yeah, I wouldn't. And I shouldn't probably admit to that kind of stuff.
And we were hacking all kinds of stuff together. I remember, yeah, you used to make your own burners and a CB when you got it was never ever good enough until you took it apart and fiddled with those potentiometers.
Yeah, well, it's just putting some basic stuff in, like reverse polarity protection, so you didn't blow it. It was a common thing to do to connect them up backwards and blow them up, and it was surprising. I don't know why none of the manufacturers didn't fit them in, but a couple of diodes and that problem's gone away. So yeah, it's quite easy to do.
Yeah, it's a great way, and I think, I don't know, the first kind of social network that I was involved in, definitely CBing.
Yeah.
And a lot of parallels can be drawn to the way we communicate nowadays in a lot of, I remember being on Seismic, a video conversational platform, and thinking, this is so like CB, because I talk, record something, let go.
Yeah.
They talk, record. It wasn't real time two way.
No, it wasn't. No, it was back in those. Well, a lot of things have replicated. I think in about 1990, I was down at the hut on the A5 watching a slow scan TV video conference over the amateur radio on a 300 baud modem with some guy in California. It was, I think it was about 2 frames a minute or something, but it worked, you know. So yeah, the amateur radio side. I didn't go for my test. I should have done, but I got bored. I kind of learnt the stuff, and that was good enough. So
you were probably unofficially off the recordly using all the technology anyway.
Well, I was never one for qualifications, so I didn't. I didn't get my results. But anyway, I really should do that sometime. But yes, from a social networking point of view, that's what we were doing. There's so many parallels with exactly how we used to operate. It's not that the social networking is new, it's purely just the conduit for it being the internet now. But this was prior to mobile phones. Mobile phones are very one-to-one. They're for two people to communicate with easily, which is why they're not quite as popular. But where you have, like what we're doing now, this is the broadcast, just like the CB. People can go on it and they could have said things or announced things and people would listen in. That's just how it worked. And the whole community aspect as well was very strong where there was a collective of people with either common goals or some kind of shared interests, and they would just work together in a very passive manner. With a phone, you have to pick it up and dial somebody, but with CB at the day, you were in the room with people, even if you weren't chatting.
And we have monikers online. I mean, if I was on the CB nowadays, I would no doubt use Documentally as a handle. What was your handle?
Thank you. What was my handle? Mad Mac is what I was known as.
Which still rings true today, I think. I started off as the Pink Panther, but as I got into rock, I did the very uncool thing, because you never change your CB name. I changed location as well. Coventry, I was known as the Pink Panther. And in rugby, I was Captain Nemo, after a guitar solo more than anything else. Yeah. And it was interesting because, I don't know, kind of weird. Nobody would know who you were sat in your bedroom. And you knew most of the time there were greasy, greasy old truckers that had lost their licenses, stuck at home, chatting up 14-year-old girls, which seems very wrong now. Yes. It was then.
It definitely was very wrong. But it wasn't all like that. There was
a strange community in rugby. I noticed that. Yeah. We were one fourers, weren't we?
Yeah, we were the kids on 14. Yeah. But there was a very strong community. At some stage, there may have been 50 of us meeting up in the middle of town at the clock tower. I used to cycle in for 12 o'clock on a Saturday.
Geek meet.
Yeah, it was. It was geek meet,
Or an eyeball, we used to call it.
Yeah, that's the other way. But yeah, it was very much like that. But I remember Christian let me have a copy of Starfleet, Van Halen, the theme tune, copied it off your
vinyl.
Off your vinyl. Yeah. I don't know if you still got that vinyl.
I have. Brian May, I think, playing Starfleet.
MSG, was it?
I used to be into the Michael Schenker group, that's where the track Captain Nemo came from.
Yeah, okay.
Man, and here I was listening to Dio on the way in this morning, thinking of the rock band I used to be in when I was in rugby playing in Churchover. Random reminiscing.
Yeah.
We've been talking, you're kind of my go-to man when it's comms and power, and you're talking about we're so backwards still when it comes to power.
I think the future is, I think this probably should be chopped up into lots of individual little audio groups, because we're spread gunning lots of topics here, but I think power, you look out the window and there's energy everywhere, but we're all wasting it, and it's a bit of a shame. There's enough power out there in everyone's garden to be self-sufficient. We just need to work out, well, employ the ways of using it. And I think there's a great deal of apathy at the minute. While people can still afford electricity bills, then people will keep using it. It's just like anything. If it's there, okay, it might look expensive, but actually it's still affordable. We've still got power to our houses.
And the more we do, the cheaper it gets.
Well, not really, because if you look at where power gets into the grid, and
what I mean is the solar technology is expensive at the moment because we're not all using it.
You mean the new ways? You're absolutely right. Yeah, this is the thing: is that solar technology will get cheaper, but again, it needs to get more efficient first. 15 years ago, you can buy 1.5-volt solar panels, but they weren't particularly good, and they might have cost £5 at the time, but not really useful apart from a calculator. So you can get a fair amount of power now to trickle in, but even storage of power isn't very good. There's probably many better ways of doing it. I think possibly storing kinetic energy in various forms, or elastic energy, is probably a lot more efficient than electricity. It's just that electricity is convenient, and we've all got wires to our houses.
Mm.
And also, I just talked to Christian earlier about portable power, and I think pneumatic charging and pneumatic devices, pneumatic dynamos, actually is a very natural, efficient way of storing and creating electricity on the move as well.
Definitely. I don't know how you have the time to even start to sketch down this kind of stuff.
Well, I started this morning at about 5, because like a few people observed on Twitter that it was raining this morning, and it was very loud, so I got up.
So I was just thinking of all the washing I put out last night.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Well, it got my mind going, so I started to write some emails and do some work, as I do in the middle of the night. Best time. Clarity, you know.
Yeah, it's
put
weird.
A bit of AC/DC on and... Yeah, that's fine.
You're away.
I'm away.
Soothing AC/DC. Mm. Well, thanks for the trip down memory lane. Let's get back to our off-the-record conversation.
Yes.
10-10, do we do it again? Bye-bye now. Wiggle.